Welcome to this week's edition of Interviews with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, here on Campus FM. Each week, I'll be discussing different issues and different ideas with entrepreneurs from Malta and overseas to help you change or start your own business. Welcome to this week's Interview with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers. And today I'm talking to Paul Attard from, get this, We Are Goat.
Yes.
Where on earth did that name come from?
It's actually quite a simple name. It's just my partner's surname, Golev.
Okay.
And my surname, Attard. G-O-A-T. It doesn't have any more meaning.
Because it makes you smile when you see it. It's like, okay, what goes on in there?
Yeah, everyone asks. It's a bit of a boring story when you return with that.
But. Oh, well, we can rewind that one. But so what do you do at We Are Goat?
So we do website design and software development.
Okay.
We started off as a branding agency.
Mm-hmm.
After about a year or two, we got very bored of that. Everyone seemed to be doing branding, and we kind of pivoted into websites and software.
So did you work with the clients you'd already done branding for and then sort of upsell to them, or is it something that you just went for a brand new offering?
Yeah, so they started asking us for websites because I guess it's common for people to offer branding and websites. And with my partner's first degree in technologies and my background in web development, we said, why not? Let's try it out.
We could do that.
We tried it. We took on some projects that were a bit too big for us, and I'll get into that a bit later maybe. And we said, cool, we can do this. Let's scrap branding and go straight into websites.
But I suppose still having your knowledge of branding, you understand that, you know, the look and the feel and everything has to be driven through even the web design. You can't just like, oof, you know, everything has to have that same touch.
We do use quite a bit of our branding experience in the websites we create and the software we create. We try to focus a lot on the usability of it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that comes from the branding and the usefulness of it all.
And knowing who your market are, because if you're talking to teenagers, they use something in one way. If you're talking to, you know, people my age, we do things a different way, and
yes, exactly.
I mean, respond to different things or whatever.
Yeah, the usability there is all throughout. I mean, obviously, the different audiences that you have, they are going to respond to your products very differently.
So what kinds of sites have you done?
We've done quite a range. We've worked with professional psychiatrists. We've worked with estate agencies. We've worked with online news networks that wanted to stream live and on-demand videos.
Okay.
To products for reusable sanitary products for women.
Oh, okay.
So quite a range of products there.
Uh-huh. And again, all of the, you can imagine in your head that all of those have to look differently, have to function differently.
Exactly.
The back ends are all different because streaming live video, it's got to be quite a monster.
That was the project that a bit too big for us. It was for a Russian client. My partner's Russian. So he brought that in, and
a bit scary.
We managed to finish it. We did it well, but it ended very weird. No, 18 hours a day for 3 months. Not fun.
But you learned a lot.
We learned a lot. That was the one project that we said, okay, now we can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Not to sound cocky, but once you do a project of that size in that amount of time, with no sleep whatsoever, with hallucinations, with...
They might have been good for then doing the psychology site after.
Yes. In fact, the next project after that was the psychology project.
Do something really mindful and restful.
Yeah.
So from that you learned, A, about taking on big businesses, but also the back-end technology was also a learning exercise for you?
Yes, definitely. I mean, back then that was 2012, 2013. And technology had changed so drastically from when we were first looking at websites, when I first studied website development, that it became interesting again. So from there, we just started learning and learning and learning. We took 1 year just to learn technologies that were up and coming. And so it's still today, we're constantly changing our technology stack to best fit.
Because that's the thing, there's trends. There's trends in technology. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I was a lass, there was this thing called COBOL and C++, which you probably, you know, have seen in movies.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the thing in our day. And then came Java, which was really sexy and was supposed to make everything. And now I don't even recognize if somebody's speaking a real language or a programming language.
Exactly. It's moving a bit too quickly, but there are some good foundations there. And once you know those, then it's easy to adjust and work on new technologies as they come out.
So where did you study? Did you study in Malta?
I did my O-levels in Malta.
Okay.
I was going to sit for my A-levels, but I found them a bit too boring. I was doing maths at A-level and computer, yes.
Maths and computer. They're boring anyway.
They're boring, but they served as a foundation for my further studies. And instead of sitting for my A-levels, I just stayed at home studying website design and development.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to Brighton and I did a short course on web development.
Okay.
Came back to Malta, worked as a web designer for a year,
right.
Found that boring, moved over to graphic designs, self-taught, and then after a few years of working in graphic design, I decided to do my master's in London.
Okay.
And that is where I met my business partner.
And so you stayed in London, set up the company over there?
The original plan was to go for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met Alexei after a year of working for our university work together. We realized it's actually really fun to work together. We get along very well.
Mm-hmm.
The projects we're working on are quite interesting. Let's do something more.
Uh-huh. And different backgrounds, different cultures, everything. Exactly. All of that stuff melds in as well.
Yeah. So we decided, let's try it out. He was working for a Russian agency at the time, remotely, and they foolishly agreed to hire me while we set up our own company. So we worked during the day for them, and in the evenings we did our own client work.
Uh-huh. That's quite common, though, in sort of design and web design and stuff. You often find it's actually one of the frustrations for people who hire web design agencies, that you send them something and you don't hear till the next morning and you're like, ah, because you do seem to be night owls. It does seem to be. I mean, maybe that was then when
that
you set
was
up.
Then.
But it's still quite common that people work through the night rather than do.
I mean, my partner still does that. So
yeah.
I'll finish my day at 5 o'clock. I'll start early, but I finish at 5 o'clock, and he'll continue going until I wake up, and we sort of have shifts, I guess.
It's like 24/7.
Exactly. That was one of our selling points initially. That's we're always available. Now it's just not realistic. It's not sustainable to stay.
You're getting old now.
I think so.
I'm teasing. I'm sorry. But you recently moved to Malta.
Yes, last year, last October.
Okay. What drove that? Is it a business thing or is it just a personal thing? You decided, no, I'm fed up with the rain.
I got married in June before moving, and we both decided, let's move down. I got a bit fed up of London. Mm-hmm. I got tired of the constant working. My wife was just working. We'd come home, we'd be too tired to kind of do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And Malta seemed like a nicer option.
A bit
option.
Easier. Mm-hmm. Shorter commuting.
Not necessarily. my commute was 20 minutes. Now it's anywhere from 20 to 1 hour.
Ah, okay. So that's not a good sign.
I don't mind it.
Don't mind.
Put on some music.
You're still working at We Are Goat, so you're still doing the same things. How is that working for you now, having your partner, although you used to work different hours anyway, how's it working for you working in different countries?
It's actually quite fine. I mean, so he deals with the team over there, the developers over there. And I'm dealing with clients, and we have another person with us over here.
Mm-hmm.
Every day we have a call at 12:30.
Okay.
A catch up, just see what's going on, what
his
we're working
morning.
On. His morning. No, his changed now. He's coming in early.
Uh-huh.
But we have a catch up, we just see what projects we're working on, what problems we might be having, discuss it for 15 minutes, and then we chat the next day unless something else comes up.
So was that something you'd come up with from one of these business books that, you know, have a check-in call at this o'clock? Because there's a really good book called The 4-Hour Work Week.
I haven't read that one, but it comes from Scrum, which is where you kind of work on a specific task or a specific set of features for a specific amount of time, and you have your daily catch-ups to make sure that you're progressing as you should be.
Uh-huh. And so is that like all the team get involved in that, or is that key members?
All the developers. I mean, we're four.
But you all have to listen in, everyone pitches in, and if somebody's quiet for too many days in a row, you give them more work.
Yeah, we just have a point each. What am I working on? What am I going to work on? Have I encountered any problems? And then obviously everyone pitches in to see how we can solve those problems.
So had any of you done Scrum before you joined, or was it something you realised working with different facets of the business, different people, and, you know, the different times and now the different countries, that was something you had to look at doing?
When it was just Alexei and myself, we sort of, a project came in, we worked on it until it was finished, and we exhausted ourselves. Then when we hired people, we realised we need to organize ourselves a little bit. We read a bunch of books, we read a bunch of blogs, we spoke to people. This seemed to be the best option. We tried it for 6 months, adjusted it to fit our needs, and now we continue to adjust it. We used to work with 1 week sprints, now we do 2 week sprints.
Okay, a sprint is what that is, that like a, you look at the project for what's going to happen over the next 2 weeks?
Yes, exactly, and these are the things we need to accomplish in those 2 weeks, and then at the end of those 2 weeks, you stop it, you assess what was done, and you start the next sprint.
So if something's going wrong, you should know about it before the end of your sprint,
exactly.
Essentially. Okay.
You can plan a bit better that way.
A bit better. And if somebody's on holiday or somebody's off sick, you know where everybody is in the process. You don't, you know,
exactly.
If somebody's not just developing in the dark and you don't know.
Exactly. You've got tasks. Each task has a weight of complexity, and you can understand how many story points or weights you can get through in that sprint. So if you can do 90, you know, next time we're planning, let's do 90.
Yeah.
Some weeks you end up doing 10, and it's just, what happened there?
But sometimes there's, you know, you creativity is, and developing, whatever, there are certain things that are just given, but there are things that just you can't just switch on, I guess.
No, for sure. I mean, in programming, if you find a bug, it could take you, like, we've had problems where a week would go by and we still can't fix this one tiny thing, and then you stumble across a blog post, which is from 5 years ago, solving your problem exactly, and that week was just wasted.
So, but, you know, at least you learn from them, and you know that somebody out there has had the same pain as you, so you know to go and find it out there. What other sort of things do you do to organize yourselves being in two countries and a diverse team? How do you set up your day? Is it just this call that happens, or does everyone come in at the same time, everyone goes at the same time?
Our work hours are a little bit flexible. You have to be in by 10 o'clock, but we just make sure that at the end of each sprint, so after 2 weeks, we have a call as a team, we plan the next 2 weeks, just to make sure that everyone knows what's going on. If there are any problems, then myself and Alexei can flag them. The rest of the team know exactly what they should be doing and where they should be looking for the information that they need.
Okay.
And then throughout the week, we might have additional calls depending on the complexity of that project.
And how does it come with your clients? Do they don't join in on these calls at all?
No,
but they
that.
Sort of, they, you get one brief and then it's taken, that it they see it at the end type of thing?
It depends on the project. For smaller projects, it's less interaction with the clients. For larger projects, we might include them every 2 weeks before the sprint starts to show them what we did the previous week and what we're scheduling for the next sprint. So they have a bit of, we have the transparency showing them
what you're doing,
what
where
we're
you
doing,
are.
And exactly. And if there are delays, they know that there are going to be delays.
And does, or do you have clients that sort of see something and think, oh, now I've changed my mind, I want to do everything like that instead? Or do you get that kind of thing? Or is
most clients are,
I like that.
I like that. they, I mean, it's natural to want to change your mind after sleeping on something. I mean, you might have a great idea, you might speak to someone, that other person might tell you it's a bad idea, that influences your decisions. So with these regular checkups for these larger projects, it's good to catch those before you invest 2 months, 3 months of development into a feature.
I suppose then as well, you can manage the client's expectations if something's going to become more complex.
Exactly.
Actually, this is now going to take, you know, X long. And what about if a client sort of realizes, you know, sprint three, that they want something that you guys don't know how to do? Can you factor in the time then to, you know, one of you guys swat up on it and learn how to do it? Or is it a... that just delays the whole thing.
If they change the spec list of what they initially wanted, then obviously it's going to
affect
the price, the time, all of that. So they are aware of that. And we would let them know how important is this to the initial launch of the product. If it's vital, then let's try fit it in and maybe shift the date, or we will allocate a bit more time to it. If it's not vital, then let's launch and
tweak it afterwards. That's the beauty of the web. No, you,
exactly.
It's not printed 5,000 copies of something. So if you've just joined us, you're listening to me, Monique Chambers, talking to this week's entrepreneur, who is Paul Attard from We Are Goat. Yeah, it still makes me smile. It's got to be the best company name I've ever come across.
It's difficult because talking to people over the phone, it's like We Are Gold, We Are Ghost. We are, it...
Because one of my uncles, so obviously he's Maltese, and when we used to say let's go, he would say, we goats. So just sort of, it reminds me of, you know, Uncle George. So it's quite sweet. But anyway, so going back to leaving university, okay, it was quite a while ago now.
Yeah, but 8 years ago.
Yeah, that's a long time. How did you go about finding your first client? Because that's quite something, you know, two mates set up together.
Yeah.
How did you find your first piece of business?
So as I mentioned earlier, we were lucky to have been working with Alexi, my business mm-hmm. partner's company at the time, the
okay.
company he was working for. So we weren't strapped for cash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were making enough money to survive each month. So the first few months we were just sending out emails saying, mm-hmm. hey, we just launched. Do you need anything?
Uh-huh.
And then obviously the usual networks of speaking to friends, family, their networks would, uh-huh. would maybe come to us. So we took on some projects like that. And really and truly, for the first 5 years, we were very lucky.
Mm.
Projects came to us and we have no idea how they came to us. Because the three biggest clients we have, they stumble across us just accidentally.
Okay, so that really is lucky. And you're still with them now? There are people that keep coming back to you in general?
Most of them still come back.
Because it's one of those things, it's like, say, stuff goes in and out of fashion and people change stuff and
yeah.
you want to make it look good so your clients or your customers feel that mm-hmm. they're getting a new web, they're not just getting the same old, same old.
Exactly.
Although don't make things too difficult to find again. but what are the sort of, what's the typical thing you do? What are you known for?
It's going to sound very cliche and very lame, but we're good at solving problems.
Okay.
To elaborate a little bit more on that, technology has changed mm-hmm. quite a bit, and anything is possible. And most people don't really understand that. So two projects that I find have been the most interesting for us were for British Vogue and for Farfetch.
Okay. So British Vogue, obviously the magazine.
And Farfetch does. It's an online luxury retail platform. They're one of the largest in the world. They have brands from Gucci, Versace to...
Mm, did you have to have stuff in the office to photograph?
No.
Annoying.
No,
okay.
Not really my style, though. They have their systems in place. Their systems are rigid mm-hmm. and they wanted to create custom promotional campaigns for their clients. They couldn't do this. They found us. They came to us. And we found ways to build these ideas that they had
uh-huh.
and provide them for their clients.
So is it like, I'm just guessing because I haven't seen, so is the Vogue one, you flick through the magazine and you have different things to read and different things for sale? What was that project all about?
So for Vogue, it was with their website, mm-hmm. obviously there's a limitation to what their website can offer. Mm-hmm. Their CMS can create certain templates. And they wanted to create, let's say, an interactive video where mm-hmm. the model would walk through a department store, pick up items, and information would pop up about those items.
Cool.
And the user can interact with it uh-huh. and get more information. They couldn't build this in their system. So we worked with the creative team to create this video, and then we built the player, the video player, that would be interactive.
Okay, so then when the handbag is picked up, it tells you this is Gucci, whatever.
Exactly.
And comes
more information,
Gucci,
click on the product. And
That's really cool.
That was a very fun project.
And looking at models all day as well. What other things did they get you to do?
So let's say for Farfetch, they have a grid of products. Mm-hmm. I mean, like any e-commerce website, a grid of products and a filter on the side of that. They wanted to put custom blocks of content, let's say images, videos, interspersed in between the grid of products.
Mm-hmm.
We created a custom content management system, integrated with their existing systems uh-huh. for fetching products, searching products, translating into the 12 languages that they have. And they were just able to use that.
That's how they wanted it. But did you find things like, so when people search for stuff, how I always get frustrated when I go on to, not Farfetch, you know, ASOS or something, mm-hmm. that I call something a certain name
mm-hmm.
and the people at ASOS don't call it the same name.
Okay.
They call it something completely different. And I'm like, no, read your fashion manual. That's not what it is. You know, and it just drives me nuts that they call something incorrectly. So it might be a midi skirt or whatever. No, I don't want to. You're looking glazed. But there's a certain length and they'll put things in that aren't midi.
Yeah.
And it drives me nuts. So how do you get around doing that where the language of your user, not necessarily the language, but the tone that they're using, the words that they're using, are actually not the same. It might be below the knee, midi, long, How do you get around that kind of?
I guess that is then the marketing and sales side of things. Okay. They want you to see as many products as you can because you might be looking for a midi skirt, mm-hmm. but, you know, an ankle length skirt, you know, let me click on that and see what that looks like. Mm. They've sold you something.
They must know your legs are bad and you should hide them. You should hide them completely. What about, so Farfetch, how on earth did they find you?
Again, so someone had worked at Vogue mm-hmm. and they sort of moved over to Farfetch, so we were very, again, lucky with that. Uh-huh. They liked the work we were doing with Vogue, so they tried us out. We became their testing ground mm-hmm. for exciting projects because their internal development team couldn't
do that kind handle of stuff.
It. They were too busy maintaining their existing system.
I would say with stuff coming in every week and every week and every week.
Exactly. With a platform that size, you have to maintain it. Mm. I mean, I think they have about 200 developers in-house.
Wow.
And so they said, like, they don't have time for this. Can you uh-huh. build it? And we built tests for them, uh-huh. experiments. And that would then be built into their system when the test is validated. Many times the tests weren't validated, so they didn't need to invest in it. But others, these tests became the actual products because they worked fine.
Yeah. Now, there's some things you see, the evolution, being a shopaholic. You get these emails coming in and how they've changed and how suddenly, you know, the model moves towards you while you're ill, or you know, the boxes change colours and stuff. So there's a lot changing all of the time. And keeping abreast of that, how do you manage? If you're so busy, how do you manage to stay on top of the ever-changing moods?
Reading. Loads of reading. Mm. As well, there's a lot of research before you start any project. You have to understand the audience, you have to understand the client, mm-hmm. because even understanding the audience fully, the client is still the one that is going to say yes or no to what you create, whether it is right for their customer or not.
Okay, and what about a relatively small company, but you still see the importance in training and things? It's not just like, you know, we just got to get this done. You just got to get on with it. You do sort of invest in your people as well for them to be able to have this time to read up. And
That for sure. I mean, we had hired two junior developers mm-hmm. right out of their O-levels, their GCSEs in London. And they didn't know anything about programming. We took them in as apprentices. We paid them a decent wage to make them feel that this is a proper uh-huh. job and not an excuse to not do their A-levels.
Uh-huh.
Alexei took 3 months off from work to train them.
Okay.
And I had to handle everything else. And they're still with us 3 years later, three wow. and a half years later. So we make sure that, you know, if they need resources, books, or whatever to learn, we provide them with these things.
And so what's the future now? So are you all going to be in different countries? Or have you got, like, new technologies that you want to roll out? Are you talking to companies in Malta? What's next for
what's next? Our good, we sort of take it as it comes. It's very difficult to plan 3 years ahead when you are the company like we are. We adapt quite quickly because we're small,
mm-hmm.
but we're looking for clients in Malta, focusing on our clients in UK still, and we just want to create the systems that we're continue creating the systems that we're creating.
And so it's not just the usual pretty web design. You do all the quite sexy stuff behind the scenes, which is this, you know, integrating video and pop-ups and e-commerce, like true e-commerce.
Yeah. We love the heavy lifting of the back-end stuff. And then because of our history in branding, graphic design, we love the visual part of it as well. Typography, I think not enough people focus on typography.
Mm.
And that's something we just love to experiment with.
Yeah.
And days of researching on what typeface to use.
So because people react to a typeface differently?
People react to a typeface differently. I mean, for one of our clients, they're a newspaper, so they need to... I mean, the majority of your time on that website is just reading long-form text.
Okay.
So that text needs to be as legible as possible.
Yes.
So we spent 3 days researching. The client ended up buying a typeface that costs £3,000.
Wow.
Yeah, they go up quite a bit.
Mm. But it is the experience, because if you sort of can't even read it with your glasses on, you're...
Exactly, and their audience is quite old.
Of that type. Of that genre. Anything else you want to tell us about We Are Goat?
Okay, so I will tell you this one story about the project that was a little bit too big for us at the time. So it was a Russian television station. They wanted to launch an online streaming of live and on-demand TV.
Mm-hmm.
So we took it on, and the deadline was 3 months. It was the two of us at the time living out of an apartment in Elephant and Castle. We took it on, we kind of didn't take on any other work other than that, and we spent 18 hours a day for 3 months just working on this project. After about 2 months, Alexei realized that we needed to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
He bought us tickets for Radiohead that evening. We went there, kind of loads of coffee, went to the stadium. Halfway through, I fell asleep. Can't believe I fell asleep during Radiohead, but it was the best nap of my life. Then a month later, we managed to finish the project. We launched it. A friend of the owner of that company sort of wanted the project for himself.
Going forward, for the next tranche, okay.
So he hired a bunch of people. This we found out from the owner. Mm-hmm. He hired a bunch of people to badmouth the website.
Okay, so sort of trolling, but in real life,
exactly.
Sort of. Okay.
Then things started getting very weird. We were threatened, so our acquaintance in the project in Russia was threatened with guns, saying, kind of, you need to sort this out.
Mm.
Otherwise, there will be problems, you know, the Russian stuff. So we washed our hands of this project. We told this person that was muscling in, you know, take it. We don't want anything to do with it. And we kind of just went our way. Luckily for us, I don't know if I should say it. Well, I'll say it. it was during the time when Russia was stamping down quite heavily on homosexuality.
Okay.
And one of the talk show hosts was gay.
Okay.
During one of the live recordings, he got drunk on television and said, I am gay, but I am just like Putin.
Ah, okay. So that live streaming.
Yeah. The next day, the television station was shut down.
Mm. So the threats and everything went away as well then?
Yes. And luckily, we got out of that project a little bit before all of this. So
you're still working for companies from that part of the world, or is that...?
we do take on some Russian clients, but this is then at Alexei's discretion. If mm-hmm. he thinks it's not worth that project, then we don't take it.
No, because there has to be a point in time where you, A, you want your sleep. You know, there
exactly.
has to be a realistic deadline thing. But also there has to be, you know, your safety, your sanity and your security.
Exactly.
Because business is just business at the end of the day. Anyway, been really interesting talking to you. That's Paul Attard from We Are Goat. And you've been listening to me interviewing him.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's Interviews with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, here on Campus FM. I'd also like to thank Carmela Gregg and Redent Abdillah for the production of this show. The show is aired every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and repeated every Friday at 7:30 p.m.